There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
It's bursting with fruit flavor, no added sugar, and all smiles.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible. And with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on my favorite shows with.
Yes, Lil Bowen. Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support, keeping me feeling great all day long.
You deserve that. Try new Bubbly Burst.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting 2 young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
Well, how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, Matt.
Where?
Oh, I see. Wow. Bowen, look over there.
Wow, is that Ooh, culture?
Yes.
Oh my goodness. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong. Las Culturistas calling.
After a 2-week hiatus, the girls are back. Hiatus. Did you hear the way I said that? Hiatus.
I think that's a wonderful
It's like I'm British. Hiatus.
Hiatus. I don't know about British, girl. Reminds me of Hyannis in a way.
Hyannis
and speaking
Port,
of the Cape.
Right?
Hyannis Port.
Speaking of the Cape.
Well, let's not talk about the Cape just yet. But we love the Cape.
We do love the Cape. Remember when we went to Provincetown?
I remember when we went to Provincetown about a month ago.
Did we tell the readers about Provincetown? I can't remember if we've like broken it down for the readers.
Can I just say, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
And I was saying to Hot Engineer Doug, I was saying to Hot EP Anna.
So hot.
I was saying to both of them, absence makes the heart. And then my sister said,
grow stronger.
And that I think should be what it is.
It's actually rule of culture number 17.
Absence makes the heart grow stronger. Hottie P. Anna is saying we mentioned it briefly in our culture catch up.
I knew it.
I think we can break it down even further with our guest when we bring her in.
Well, it's where we met the guest.
That's where we met the guest.
So that would be only appropriate, Bo. You know where else we went, which is sort of a, let's just say it, queer destination. Since the last time you recorded was the Fire Island Pines, Bo.
Oh my God.
And how was it this time? What a wonderful week.
It was really wonderful and lots of new memories were made.
Yeah. I got so ill at the end that I thought I would die.
That's hard. You really were not feeling great.
Y'all don't get food poisoning. Whatever you can do to avoid it, do it.
Is that what it was?
We're going to say it was... here's the thing, you guys. And so if you're
we don't have to get
heart,
into this.
Sort of, you know, plug your ears. Foods are something you eat. Also on the Fire Island Pines, you eat some other type of stuff.
You eat other things there.
It might make you sick. Here's what I'd say to everyone. Let's just make sure that even when we're on vacation, we're sort of taking care of ourselves.
Yeah.
We're scrubbing. We're really washing up because, you know, when you share parts of yourself with other people, you also share germs.
you share germs. And
am I being explicit enough for the readers?
I think so. Our guest is giggling silently. But I think an antiseptic is so necessary. I know people say, oh, halitosis is a made up disease. It doesn't matter. I want my mouth to be clean. That's not made up. Cleanliness is not a made up concept when it comes to oral hygiene. Do you know what I mean?
Sure. Yeah, of course. All I'm saying is I got a 103 fever. and the most intense abdominal pains of my life because
acids are so powerful.
Because of what I'm calling food poisoning. So,
I'm sorry.
And I am at my parents' house, and they are sort of hashtag in the next room. Yeah. So, you know, but they know who their son is.
Yeah.
A whore. And them's the breaks, as Boris them's Johnson just said in his resignation speech.
Did he say that?
He said.
That's a very American thing.
Well, you know, he might have learned it from his best friend, Donald J. Trump. But he said it's tough to be leaving the best job in the world, but them's the breaks. And I thought, well, that's a classy way to sort of leave the prime ministry.
Is it the best job in the world? What is the best job in the world? I think it's Imagineer.
Imagineer and singer-songwriter are tied for best jobs in the world. You know, the thing about Imagineer is it's actually a lot of engineering.
Which people love.
Engineers do. It's actually Real Culture number 70. Engineers love
engineering. But I think the top 400, it's a ranking of the jobs, of the top 400 jobs.
Is that going to be next year's list that we do, the top 400 jobs? Well,
it's not going to be next year. It's going to be 2 years because, you know, for another 100 episodes, we need 52 weeks in a year.
For our 400th episode, you heard here first, we're going to count down the top 400 jobs.
Top 400 jobs.
That'll be a good one.
Okay, let's bring our guest in. We're so excited she's here.
Well, this is a thrilling day. This is, first of all, this is a huge day in the culture. Jen Shah has pled guilty.
So
this is a major, major day. And to mark that, we decided, let's have a great guest. I have to say, wiping away tears watching the newest film from the guest.
I mean,
we met at the Provincetown Film Festival, and I can only describe her sort of in-person presence as warm yet majestic,
truly regal yet.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
But it's giving Princess Di.
It was giving
a princess for the people.
But Princess Di, I think, sad and with.
Not sad. Our guest is
Princess
not sad.
Di, I think hello. I think everything's a little sad. You know what I mean? With our guest, I think, hey, and it was sort of like a warmth, but there was a majesty.
I know our Princess Di is they don't, and our guest is they do.
They do. You're so anyway, right.
Okay, so our guest is truly a fantastic actor, comedian, writer, and is currently in a film that you can see. You can see this movie, Marcel the Shell with Shoes On.
Marcel the Shell with Shoes On, and you can see it in the theaters.
True.
And we happened to see it, and it was a thrilling, absolutely, I mean, Julkin Booster doesn't like it when anyone describes the film Fire Island as cute. But I was watching it and I was just like, Marcel is the most adorable creature that's ever lived. And everything that Marcel says touches the heart. But the way that this was done was so inventive and great. And I have just so many questions and compliments about this, but also so much else that our guest has done. Obviously, one of the best films ever, Obvious Child.
True.
I always think about their performance as Tally Schifrin and Girls.
Tally Schifrin, who truly one of the girls' characters who like has an amazing arc from and the first time you meet her.
Yes, and important in Hannah's journey.
Absolutely. Anyway, God, we just love her so much. We've loved her for so long. What else do you have to say?
I was just going to say, never forget Publicity.
Publicity, legendary.
Like truly, I mean, this is one of the greatest. And I was so excited to meet her, and I'm so excited to have her on the pod.
Me too. And something happened to her on the plane from. On her plane to New York City that she told me about that I would love to get into with her. Okay.
Okay, let's, I love a plane story.
Put a pin in that, but please welcome... Jenny Slate!
Hi!
Hello! Bye.
It was so hard to not... I guess I could have muted this whole time, but I just was... First, I was laughing about how you got sick from what you ate.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Boys. And there are so many things to say. And then the jobs, I just can't understand. I don't understand the Imagineer thing at all. I think it seems really stressful.
Really?
And Because I think people think you're just thinking up like roller coaster ideas or movie ideas, but I bet the culture in there is actually probably like intense. Maybe I don't know. I don't.
Like
maybe
it might,
I don't
might
know.
Be more than meets the eye, like many things.
Yeah, I. That's right. right. And then
there's
of course
a story there.
Your compliments, and I also think it is, you know, like stunning in a good way to hear people's first impressions. I mean, I like it even if they were like wrong or, you know, like they're not flattering, although I hopefully I'm not going to run into that. But I guess maybe someone would be like, I thought you were stupid and rude. That would be it, like so terrible. But wow.
Anyway. I will say, like, I don't think you're going to run into that because I think the movie is just so... It's just so wonderful. Like who would want to like poke a hole in it or whatever. But like I feel like there's maybe more room for like an obliquely incorrect or like unflattering sort of piece of feedback for Fire Island, but the only negative comment I got in person about the movie was in P-Town for the festival.
Really? Do you mind sharing what it was?
This person sort of, this was right after, so Jenny and I did this, received this Next Wave Award. It was a huge honor. We did this little talk back with Judy Gold, who's a legend. And then afterwards, on the way out of that, after we all parted ways, someone stopped me and said, Bowen, congrats on the movie. Started out nice. I was like, thank you so much. And then she said, now why'd you have to make lesbians look so disgusting in that?
What? For what?
And then I was like, oh, I don't think we did. And then all I could do was just walk away because like I was with Matt and then Olivia and Kara, our managers, were there and they just kind of like kept shoveling us along. But I was like, it was a little jarring. But then the happy ending is afterwards, we went out later that night for dinner. And then that same person stopped us and went, I'm so sorry, Bowen. I'm sorry about that comment earlier. I don't know what I was. I was like, oh no, don't worry about it. And so, but that is truly, and it's a blessing that like the only negative in person critique that I've gotten on the movie, which is about something that I had nothing to do with, and also I don't know, it rounded out into something lovely by the end.
Yeah, people, I mean, it is, you know, this is a crazy story, but I don't know if you remember that there was a person sitting in the front row and that they were like it was, you know, an older woman and she tried to ask a question, but just could not do it. She just had a lot to say she had a lot to say. And Judy was kind of like getting on her about it. Judy started screaming into the microphone, ask a question. And this lady was like, you know, she was kind of like just riding her own spaceship into infinity. Like she was just doing her thing and totally harmless, whatever. So last week, I get a call from my mom and she's like, because my parents were there, as you know, you met them. You guys both met them.
So lovely.
Oh, yes. They were lovely.
My mom's like, Jenny, you know that? She's like, you know that lady that was sitting in the front row of the P-Town thing?
Oh, no.
And I was like, yeah, of course I remember that. Like that was, you know, that memory is like in a little frame in my mind. I remember that. She's like, she called the house.
Oh my God.
This woman called my parents at their home, at the home of Nancy and Ron Slate. And apparently what she said was, I have an idea. I have an important idea for Jenny's career.
Oh my God. And do we know
they
what that idea was?
They had to hear
it
out.
Like I have told my parents, like, please, if somebody calls for me, it's just not legit. Like if they need to find me, they really know how. And you can't really open that up. And so I've just been like, you know, you're just going to have to say, I can't help you or whatever. But then my dad, like they can't. Why is it so hard to just follow a simple instruction? I just don't get that. And my parents are specifically bad. Like if I'm like, guys, could you just wake me up by 8:15? My mom's like, got it. And then I wake up, it's like 8:27. And I'm like, why did you wake me up?
Oh,
also, I'm 40. Nancy. You're like, why are your parents waking you up? But anyway, apparently my dad went on like a long-winded thing and was like, oh yeah, listen, I actually have a lot to do today. I have to go to the dump and the mailbox. And
the dump.
My dad goes to the dump every day. Yeah, all dads go to the dump every day is what I'm learning. Anyway. That was a great trip. I didn't hear the idea.
Okay, but there's something about that woman and about a lot of people in that they, in the way that they ensnare you, yeah. Right? It's literally like they like, you're walking through a forest and then they're this snare, this root that catches your foot and you just get stuck there for a little bit. And that's the vibe I got from her at the thing.
Oh yeah. And you know that if you're, I mean, some people, I guess if they're like a, as you say, like a public facing person or whatever, and someone comes up to them, they're like, they have their boundaries and they know what to do. But yeah. Like, I'm just the same as I've always been. I don't really want to hurt anyone's feelings. And I should be sort of tougher or something, but I'm just not interested in it. And I like, don't really want someone to be like, she was really unkind, you know, like,
right.
Which is bad because people can really use that as a threat. But like, I don't want to like shit on some lady who totally. Like was so excited and like, energized that she literally forgot to ask a question.
Sure. I didn't mind her, really.
No, it's fine. Whatever.
She was excited. I mean, something that we're encountering. Bowen and I have now we after the Provincetown thing, we traveled so much. Like we went down to the Bahamas to go do The View.
Oh wow. What?
And yeah. So we were
what
on the View.
Was Whoopi there?
They were okay, all cool, there. It was cool. Their 25th anniversary. So we went down to go do The View in the Bahamas. And that was where God, they were celebrating guys. It, etc. And by the way, this was the day after Roe v. Wade was overturned. So they were discussing it like with like tiki drinks in front of them and like sunglasses on and like Bahama
unexpected
shirts.
Unexpected setting, yeah.
Yeah.
It was not. It was, I don't think, where they wanted to be when this happened. Sure. But, you know, we all hoped it wouldn't happen at all. But right. There they were. And so, we were there doing it. And after we taped the segment, we were like enjoying like the pool and like, you know, because we were down there. And this girl sort of ran up to Bowen and made a noise sort of like this. And like then started like feeling her own tits. Like I've never seen her
tick was to like press her boobs together in excitement.
And then she was like, can I just follow you guys? And we were like, no. And no, see, I'm like you. I'm like you, Jenny. Like, I don't feel like I can ever
I can't shut someone down like that.
Not just flat out like, no, I'm not doing this right now, period.
Yeah.
And but this person was like, really, like, I had never seen a reaction like this. And so we did have to just sort of be like, no, we're on vacation. No, like, please, like, you can't take a picture. She goes, can I just take a picture of him? Not with him, of him. And we were like, no. And then, like, she had to go away. But, like, with a person like that, you did have to be like, the answer is a hard no exclamation point. Get out.
I mean, it's weird, but it's weird. Oh, this was the thing that I wanted to ask about in terms of what happened on this flight to New York.
Okay.
You told me that you spilled a Bloody Mary in your purse.
Oh my God. Also, this reminds me. Okay. Sorry. So no, go ahead.
No. That's all. I'm just putting that there. What happened? What did it remind you of?
Well, it also reminded me that while I was at my parents' house this weekend, that my dad was like, I couldn't bring my award with me. They were like, it was like a big award in like a large, in like a shoeboxy sort of box, like a big box.
That was big.
So I was like, Dad, will you take this for me and I'll come get it, you know, when I come back. And then my dad was like, here's your award. And I got the box and it just says Bowen Yang on it.
wait.
Oh, but at least the box does.
My award is behind me and it says my name. So you should have your
My box said split. Your name. Maybe they said, oh, yeah. Well, anyway, I didn't open it. I was like, okay. I just put it in my bag. But anyway, so what happened was that I went to meet my husband and my baby in Nantucket. And and then like something happened. That island is like almost always covered in fog. Like you actually really can't get a flight out to it. So anyway, I was stuck in the airport to then get to New York City and it just took forever and ever and ever. And they wouldn't let us out to go to the bar, which like increased my appetite for a cocktail. Like what, you know, just, I really am one of those people. It's like you say, I can't have it. I just really, really want it. I mean, that, you know, my mom like really restricted TV and soda when we were younger. And now
me
like
too.
I will just watch a like commercial for plaque psoriasis, like it's like Baryshnikov footage. Like I just am, I'm like, I just like my mouth hangs open. I always want soda. I very rarely have it, but like I would, you know, whatever. Anyway, so by the time I got on the plane, I was like, oh, fuck it. I'm doing this. And I got a Bloody Mary and and it was like a very rocky, very brief flight. And I was wearing my mask. And also, I can't really tell where I fall in the culture. Like, maybe people like know me, maybe they don't. It's a very mixed bag. I, you know, I really weave through my reality. Like, I just can't tell what's going on. Like, what kind of impact am I making consistently? I don't know that there is one. So I was like, I'm just a stranger on the plane. I was watching this kid across from me, was clearly 15 years old, somehow ended up in the like first class section of the plane, which I was lucky enough to be in. And this flight attendant is like, can I get your company? And he's like, is it free? And I'm like, you are not. You are a child. And he's like, can I get a rum and coke? Oh my God. And so I'm like, if this baby literally is doing this and I'm not going to say anything, I'm going to ask for like two of the little bottles of vodka because I'm getting picked up at the air, whatever. Yeah. So I for some reason, because a child did something, this makes no sense, get a, like a stronger Bloody Mary. Ooh. I dump it in. I dump the two vodkas into the Bloody Mary mix.
Oh my gosh.
I take a huge gulp of it. I am immediately like advanced buzzed. Like I'm not like, hey, what time does the flight land? But I'm like weirdly, like kind of like my mouth feels soft. And I'm like, I know that if somebody were to talk to me, I probably would have like trouble enunciating and something like that, you know?
Yeah. Your functions just, like, were deteriorating.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So, and it was like, it happened so quickly. And so then we hit a bump. And I spilled the whole half that was left. Cause I took in like half, as if I'd been hit by a wave of seawater. Like I just took it in. And then the rest of it went into my purse where there's like my journal and my, you know, I had a little, it was just like all this stuff. And it's like, it's like, you know, my favorite purse for traveling. That's like kind of like an open tote, a leather tote. And it just is like, it just completely coats the inside of my purse. And I'm like, this is so nasty. And all of a sudden I'm like, this drink smells like salsa. Like, this is so gross. I smell like it. My bag does. And then this flight attendant comes over. She's like, oh my God. And she brings me a bunch of napkins God. That I put into my purse, like sopping it up like pieces of bread almost. Yes. And then I'm like, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry. This is so crazy. Like, I am really, really, really sorry that I did this. And then she's like, it's okay. And then she comes through with the trash cart. No. And I go, oh, thank you so much. And I take my big, big like bundle my wad of Bloody Mary soaked cocktail napkins and go, thank you so much. And I go to throw it in her cart. She's like, hon, I'll take it. And I'm like, no, absolutely not. I go to throw it. Like, I'm just gonna Air Jordan this into the trash bag, and I throw them all over the aisle of the, airplane. And it was such so much. And then she was like, oh, okay. And then she was like, no, please don't get up. And so then she cleaned it up and put it in the thing. And I was like, well, this is really embarrassing, but at least I, like, you know, basically only took my mask off one time to take my huge gulp, and nobody knows that this happened. And then, when we were getting off the plane, she was like, it was really nice to meet you. I really enjoy your work. And I was like,
oh! I was going to say, she's the one person there. And also probably the 15-year-old, you look over, he's like really dignified, like sipping his rum and coke.
Oh, for
like,
sure.
Sipping it all, like very tastefully, tiny sips, like very controlled.
It sucked. I was so embarrassed and like messed up, and it all happened so quickly. But yeah, the purse is retired now.
Do you feel that Bloody Marys are ruined for you now, or will you continue to slurp them?
It will take more than that. Yeah, I'll slurp them forever. I love my BMs.
Oh, I love a BM.
I love a good spicy BM. I love it. Mm-hmm. Like, there used to be a place in Brooklyn when we had, my friends and I had our stand-up show there, that would put a whole pickle spear. Yeah. For
a whole pickle spear.
Oh, I love a pickle spear.
Mm. Just like so dunked in as if it's a stirrer or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. What was the place called?
It was called Sound Fix. It was before we were at the Cameo. It was called Sound Fix. It was like a record store with a big bar in the back, and they would have like McClure's spicy Bloody Mary mix.
I love that stuff.
I can't even talk. My mouth is filled with saliva again.
Yeah.
I know. Probably up by where you are now, you can get a really good, interesting Bloody Mary too. I say interesting.
Mm-hmm. They're always putting like a crab claw in it though. You're like,
I am interested in that as a garnish. Where I worked in seafood restaurants for like 10 years. I'm from Long Island, and I started as a busboy at a restaurant called Nikki's on the Bay. And then I worked all through Brooklyn. I worked at this place called Brooklyn Crab in Red Hook. Do you know that place?
Mm-hmm. Oh, no. I'm thinking of Green Point Lobster.
Green Point Lobster. Yeah.
Sorry.
It's the sister restaurant.
But yeah, I used to live on Henry Street. So I used to live near there. But anyway.
Oh, that's so funny. You say Henry Street. I saw a Funny Girl 2 days ago, and they make a big to-do of Henry Street.
Oh,
lives on Henry Street. Yes, they do. We used to do an oyster as a garnish.
Mm-hmm. Whoa.
Which is a real flex.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I would prefer that. I'm allergic to oysters, but I would prefer that over the crab claw.
You're allergic to oysters.
Yeah.
That's a Massachusetts tragedy.
That really is.
I hate it. It sucks so much. It's like everything I would enjoy in a food, just like a briny, a briny slurp. Nothing that's like just for luxury.
Yeah. A briny nothing that's just for luxury.
Title
of app. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place. Whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long, Matt.
And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. Now, we all know we love to vacation together. We have various happy places. We love to go to Orlando, Florida. We love to go to Las Vegas, Nevada. We love to go to a beach anywhere. We love to go to Europe. Bowen, we have truly traveled the world globally and domestically.
My happy place is with my sister and any of those locations he just listed. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group.
When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals, and you can even choose your own crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save.
For me, I'm choosing Matt Rogers. I'm choosing producer Becca.
Yes! Maybe Hans. We're all going together, the Lost Culture family. So download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy place with Priceline. You know, but one of the toughest things about decorating my apartment has been getting things framed. Finding a place that will custom frame all my beautiful art pieces that I have without breaking the bank has been close to impossible. But then I found Framebridge.
I found Framebridge too. Framebridge makes it easy to get anything framed at an affordable price. Easily order online at framebridge.com or visit a Framebridge retail store, upload a digital photo for them to print and mail your item using their free, secure, prepaid packaging. Or visit one of their 20 plus retail stores. Framebridge custom frames your piece in their studio using the highest quality materials and ships it to your door in days for free. I love going into the brick and mortar locations. I've got one here in Brooklyn and they're so sweet. They can give you inspiration for where you want to get framed. I went in and I was like, I'm going to get my Chromatica ball bracelet framed. And they helped me.
Oh my God, I'm so excited. I have so many memories I need framed and put upon the wall. And they have a curated selection of frame styles with design experts right on hand who make it fun to choose the perfect frame for you.
See why Framebridge has been trusted to frame over 2 million pieces. Visit framebridge.com or a local Framebridge store to get started and custom frame just about anything. That's framebridge.com.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my
It's gosh. Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? Well, take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/LasCulturistas and use the code HELIXPARTNER20 HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
I can relate to being restricted of TV. Didn't grow up with cable. Parents never let me drink soda. Now I can't live without either. And so do you think you're going to you're probably going to have to restrict some things for Ida, for your baby, right?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. I mean, she's not, we don't let her like watch TV at all. And I think it'll come in very purposeful moments. But we also don't have a TV because we're like, you know, we just watch things on our computer. We don't have an actual TV because we're really not TV or car people. Like we have old computers and we have like a really shitty Subaru filled with garbage and sand. And that
that's
I actually
so
hate.
Oh,
like sand in the car?
Just garbage in the car. Like,
yeah, but it happens.
I just think it's so gross. And my whole family this weekend was like, then clean the car. And I was trying to explain to them, like, it's gone too far. Like, there's nothing you can do.
Point of no return.
Wow.
Yeah.
You guys feel that way? I mean, Matt, you feel that way about your car?
Oh, no. There are certain points where it's just like, I'll have to have a friend be like, honey, you have a problem.
Yeah.
Just it's like someone has to step in here. Like it's usually Greta, our friend Greta, who's usually like, hey, and she'll put her hand on my shoulder and she'll just say, I just want to say it's okay, but we have to stop. And we have you have to stop. And then I will just sort of like sift through like the, I don't know, papers. Sometimes I will be honest with you, parking tickets that I let just like, I'm a parking ticket sort of, I'm like, they stick to me. It's wild, but they do end up in my car and then I pay them, but all in once, I'll accumulate them over 3 months and then I'll pay them, but they're cans, like, you know, wrappers for things like straw wrappers. I almost think we shouldn't put wrappers on straws at all.
No, that's the way.
Especially
it's
not a paper straw. It's like if we're doing paper straws, right?
Which
we hate, but we understand why.
Of course, we hate it, but we understand why, like many things. Yeah.
But why would you put a paper wrapper over a paper straw? Because the wrapper, then you're just going to toss away and then that's garbage. So if we're trying to eliminate waste and be good for the environment, don't put the paper straw in a paper wrapper.
No, I just can't deal with it. The entire thing. But then now they have a cup that's like a sippy cup for adults where you don't even have a straw for iced coffee. Like that really bums me out. I think I'd rather the weird paper straw. I just can't believe a scientist hasn't invented some other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do. You know what I like is the metal straws. I like bringing my own metal straw around. Like that feels like a new chic accessory, like phone, wallet, keys, metal straw.
Oh, someone's just going to get their thigh stabbed by their own metal straw.
Oh, you're right. I didn't think of it as a weapon.
What's the movie where Kevin Bacon had like a pencil in his pants and he's got one of his testicles stabbed?
What?
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I don't know. What is this?
someone will know, one of your listeners will know, there's like there's a movie where Kevin Bacon has like an injury to his character does, has an injury to his ball sack, and like it comes out where he's like, you ruined my balls or whatever. And the other person's like, why were you playing basketball with a pencil in your pocket?
Okay, so I just want to say that I just Googled the words Kevin Bacon pencil balls. And here's what popped up. A Daily Mail article that says
51 accused of murdering and mutilating a man.
The 51-year-old has been charged with the murder and mutilation of Kevin Bacon, 25.
Oh, no.
So there was. This is a whole different situation, but someone was named Kevin Bacon and Jenny, he was murdered by a cannibal.
I think this is a dream.
No, guys, it's real. Someone will know that it's real. I hope someone writes in or something, but it is. It's not like picture perfect, okay. I don't think, with Jennifer Aniston.
Oh, I love picture perfect.
I love that movie so much, but it's something like
that. Wow.
I can't.
Anyway. Stop pulling up. Well, wait. Hold on. Speaking of movies, are you sick of talking about Marcel yet? Are you all pressed out?
No, not at all. Okay. It's weird. It's really nice to talk about it, I think, because also we waited 7 years, and I felt like during that time I couldn't talk about it. So now I'm like,
I mean, how long did you see it as a film?
How long?
Yeah, from where it started when you released it as a short. To where it's
which was like
now.
What 12 like, years ago.
At what point did you think you and Dean think let's actually actualize this as a feature? Which it had to be much later.
It was a couple years later. It was like we made the first short just on a whim for fun, for like a totally other purpose, just to kind of like make a thing. Dean said that he would like make a short video for his friend's show, and so we just made it for that. But we never intended to put it online, and then somebody like wanted to send it to their mom, so we did, and it. Became like quote unquote viral. And that was kind of early for that experience to happen.
I remember.
And so then that was just like that. And it was kind of confusing, you know, like sometimes you really don't know, or at least for me, I don't understand what like offering is being placed at my feet. You know, like I truly think a lot about those like Greek myths where like Zeus comes to the door, but it's disguised as a beggar, and someone's like, ugh, I can't, or whatever. And it's like it's like the wise person that lets them in, or like the start of Beauty and the Beast, of course. But it's like, at the time I was like, I don't know, this is like just a thing that we did. What I'm trying to focus on is to like redeem myself after like, you know, like being fired from SNL or something like that. I just didn't see that what was worth something was like, there in terms of my own experience, not even just like making a movie, but so like we kind of just had this thing happen to us for a while, and we had other goals in each of our careers. I think like I just really, really wanted to be an actor. I always did, and at the time the show Girls was like being cast, and I like went in a bunch of times for the role of Marnie, and like kind of thought maybe I'd get it, and like didn't. And I remember just like I don't know, I forgot about Marcel. Like I was just like, what am I gonna do? How am I going to get a job? And then Dean and I moved to LA in the winter of, I think, 2012. So that was even like, so 2 more years had passed. And we made 2 kids books because that was like fun and relaxing in a way. And then once we were in LA and like the conversation just naturally kind of came up, I feel like with our agents or something, it was like, would you like to do something more with this? And then we started to talk about like, should it be a TV show or maybe a movie? And I first thought a TV show. I think Dean and I thought that first, and that the people we were meeting with, it just like seemed like it wouldn't be fun. And it wouldn't be what we wanted it to be. And so eventually Liz Holm, who produced our movie and created the story with us and produced Obvious Child and my special on Netflix and the movie Landline, which she co-wrote. I've worked with her a million times now, and she's one of my closest friends. She brought us to the people that fully funded our film. It was like a nonprofit arts grant that we got to make it.
Incredible.
That's amazing.
Because I imagine, the thing that like kind of blows me away about the movie is that it's like, it's the perfect expansion of the shorts. And probably the book for that matter, because the book is like just something really light on its feet. And then, but like, I think the whole thing gets sort of carried over into the film where it's not like you guys did like a Marcel's big adventure into the world. You know, it's like, right, yeah, you know, yeah, like you kept it in the house. You gave the house this backstory. I don't know. It's just, and then all the meta narratives about like him going quote unquote viral, like are all like,
yeah,
perfectly tent pulled in the film in a way that I'm like, God, I can't imagine what it must have been like between you and Dean and Liz and Nick Paley, who wrote the treatment. Like,
yeah,
for that to be like a 7-year process and for you guys to like try and, because there's always about like some forecasting when you're starting out. You're like, well, what's it going to be like in 7 years? Like, what will this movie like release into the world as, you know, like that's, there's, yeah, there's just, I don't know, you guys, I think you guys just like calibrated it so well.
And you know what the weirdest part of that is? What you're saying is that, like, I mean, I don't tend to do a lot of that, like forecasting about, I mean, now I do forecasting about the world because like in the last few years, so much has changed about what I thought was like just steady movement in one direction has reversed. And that also includes, I think, the entertainment industry that I'm like, oh, I used to work one way and now I'm like not exactly sure how it works now. And but I did not look like 7 years into the future or think it would take seven years and be like, what will it be? But the weirdest thing was that I was like, you know, I'll probably be the same that I was when we started to make this movie. And actually, I am myself, I'm my same personality and everything, but I'm fairly different. Mm-hmm. And lots of different things have happened. Like, you know, when Dean and I started to write the treatment, like we were still married, you know, yeah, like it hasn't even been a decade and I'm like married to someone else now, you know, that's, and I have so a baby, yeah, and like, and you know, Dean has his own partner and his life and like, and everything's okay. Mm. And like, it's just different. It's like so different than when I thought it would be. But what I like about the story is that like, it stands like right next to the truth, but doesn't try to like be the truth, right. You know? And in that way, we're like allowed to change because, and that's like the weird beauty of the project. I think that probably sounds like very vague, but there's a lot of like, of true things that happen to us emotionally that are in that, yeah, movie. And it sounds like I'm being so like, sort of like supercilious in a way about like, or like just like so stuck up about my own movie that's like about a shell. But I guess you can put your emotion like in anything, and that's like where I put it, you know, but I don't know.
Well, it's like when Matt was saying that it was like a cute movie, which it is, it's like that also doesn't belie the fact that it's like about this little miniature thing, the shell, but that like it's, he's this container for like all these huge concepts, and that like this, and that he is kind of like put off by the scale of things himself, like the scale, yeah, of the world or whatever. But then like, what was I going to say? Oh, that like, I told you in P-Town, I was like, it feels like a Ghibli film. It feels like a Studio Ghibli film, but like live action and stop motion. So, and nice. Then, I think what you're saying about like, the place you are now, the place Dean is now, it's like the movie is about like possibility. It's about like, it's not just one couple that breaks up. It's two couples that break up that sort of like set these things, yeah, in motion. I don't know. It's so good, Jenny. I haven't been able to stop thinking about it.
Thank you.
Something I was thinking is like, I would imagine that a large part of also its virality in the very beginning in terms of the YouTube video is that people probably did show it to their kids. Mm. But what I really like about this movie is that, and probably when you did go out to pitch it and like were exploring the idea of making it a television show, probably a lot of people in a sort of understandable yet first thought way were like, well, this is a kid's thing. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's a shell. He's adorable. Like, you know, he's got this cute face. Like the world is in, he's small in a house. Like this is for kids. And yet I think that this movie like obviously has adult themes. And yet I think because it doesn't try to be for children, it ends up being for everyone. And I actually think that kids, yeah, could enjoy this movie because it reminds me of like, you know, the way that like you know, Toy Story is an animated movie, but the themes are extremely universal. Like, whereas adults are going to watch it and be like, oh, I'm actually surprised by how much I enjoy this. Like, people who enjoy your work and know you are going to watch this and they're going to understand it and get it and be moved by it. But also, like, this is for everyone. I think it doesn't try to pander to any one type of person. And I think that universality actually... And the movie is so specific, yet it is so for everyone because it's understandable on an emotional level. And so, therefore, I think your movie gets something right, which I think more things would heed, which is, you know, you don't have to, like, write at a person that's watching it. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's like,
yeah,
you've really explored the specific experience of this shell living in the real world, you know, to the point where, like, he even experiences, like, the meta thing of your own video going viral.
Right.
And it's in that, you know, there's a universality in the specificity is, I guess, what I'm saying, that makes it for everyone. And I could see literally all ages and all experiences enjoying it. And probably they already are.
Oh, thank you. I mean, I think that, I think kids do like it. Like, we, you know, sort of like looked into that and they right. do. But I think, like, what this experience has made me interested in is, like, how do you create like a contained piece of something, like a creative thing, and make it similar to, like, the delights and hospitality that you find in, like, a public space that's for everyone, like an aquarium or the botanical gardens or, you know, a public pool? Like, how do you make it be like this, you know, not to be pretentious, but, like, this art is an environment. And, like, I think it's really important that we have that. And like, I think, you know, like, I always loved the descriptions of, like, why, I think it was Olmsted, but made Central Park, like, what it was, like, that it was, like, you know, supposed to be, like, a place for everyone. And, like, of course, I don't know, like, he probably was, like, a horrible,
you know,
like, you can't, like, there's just, like, no way to, look back and be like, oh God. And God. But I've always, like, been into, you know, like, how do you make a place that not everybody has to be seeing or doing the same thing at once, but, like, it is actually 100% for the end of each individual that's in there. And it doesn't like freak you out that not everybody's seeing or treasuring the same thing. And I just like that a lot. Wow. I really, really do. And I think also, there are, like, two, what I feel like are, like, prominent, like, instincts right now. One is, like, the psychotic, you know, like, make sure that we know exactly what everything is. Like, I want to know where every penis is and every vagina, and I don't want there to be, like, a hidden one. And, like, you know, don't like, just basically, like, everything that's, like, happening in Florida or whatever. Like, it's just, like, they're, like, tell us what it is. Don't change what anything means, like, what it meant to my grandfather. I needed to, like, still mean that, otherwise I'm just gonna just collapse. And then there's, like, the, like, another point of view that's, like, make there be more. Like, what is another example of more? What is another example of like
escalating
of just, like, yeah, like, just open it up. It clearly doesn't work to be so whatever, like, oversimplified. And I think that also can happen with making work, like, for either, like, if, oh, it's comedy, you can't just, like, make a comedy anymore. Like, is it a comedy for women? Like, it's just, like, so, it feels so hard to make anything sort of unless you can tell people, like, exactly who it's for. And that it was, I don't feel like everybody trusted us when Dean and I said it's legitimately for everyone. It is, like, we really, really think it is. And luckily, Cinereach, who funded our film, understood that. And luckily, A24 really gets that and has supported that kind of, like, you know, this thing is for
everyone.
I mean, I hope it can be.
It absolutely is. I mean, that's the thing, is it's just, like, it's a specific thing. And Marcel, the shell with shoes on, you'd be like, if you didn't know what it was and you saw what it was, you'd be like, oh, that looks odd. And then when you watch it, it's actually quite a simple story about finding your family. You know what I mean? And not wanting change, being afraid of change. I mean, that is a universal story. And also he's been through trauma. Like, you know, like, that's really, he's afraid because He knows what it's like to experience loss, and he feels that loss coming in both directions, and he's got to face it. And I also want to say the relationship with the grandmother Isabella Rossellini is so good. I will say my favorite line reading in the whole thing is when they're being interviewed and they're talking about the fact that they love 60 Minutes, and she just goes, Leslie Show. And then Marcel's like, oh, well, yeah, she calls it the Leslie Show. Like, she loves Leslie Stahl. And the fact that Leslie Stahl becomes this thing in the movie. And even when Leslie comes in and they're like, how was the flight? And she's like, long. Like, I was just like, it's just so funny to me. Yeah. Like that Leslie Stahl gets this moment. I love that.
Yeah, I do too. And I love how like relaxed she was and that she just came on in and did it. And I just love it. I really like when newscasters are in environments that are like created, but they're still themselves. Like, have you guys seen, I'm sure you have, but Kate Berlant and John Early's new special?
Yeah, with Meredith Vieira.
Like, yeah. It's so, I mean, everything about their special is excellent. And like, it's just like truly like, I want to like eat it. Like, it's delectable. It's wonderful. They're just so great. The Meredith Vieira thing, like, she's completely dialed in.
Yeah, she gets it. Some of these people are really funny. Like, Meredith, you can get, like, she's, like, really funny. We met Hoda and Jenna and from the Today Show, and they were funny.
Hoda's nice,
Hoda's
too.
An angel.
Hoda's so nice.
Yeah, she's, like, really, really, I mean, not that the other one isn't. I'm just saying Hoda's the one that I've, like, happened to meet. Like, more than once or something. And she's just so nice and, like, beautiful. Wow.
Right. She's a star. She definitely carries the light. Like, and she looks at you. She looks at you when you're talking, and she has this way of making it seem like, God, what you're saying is interesting and it's funny.
Yeah.
It really
is. She shakes her head just enough when she's talking. She's like, wow.
Yeah, just like, and I'm going to remember this forever.
Yeah, some people are so good at the nuances in their jobs that you wouldn't notice when you're just watching TV. But then, like, once you realize, like, if you see, for example, like the inner workings of the Today Show, that's crazy. Like, it is nuts. Like, they're just cranking it out, and it is so early, and there are like a million things, and they're switch. Like, I was just on it a couple of weeks ago, and the segment before me was a tote bag filled with wine. which is actually, and then I also was a tote bag filled with wine, but like, you know, they're just cranking it out. And then the people that can make it, you know, they really can still be tuned in and focused and not be like fake about it. Yeah. Like, you know, they're just like, wow. I actually also feel that way about David Attenborough and his introductions.
Yeah. The morning so show, good at it. The morning show thing is like, they tackle such disparity in their subjects. Like,
oh my God. Like,
well, and that was, of course, a segment on sentient tornadoes. They're killer tornadoes that can think. And now we have Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang. Matt Rogers and Bowen Yang, thank you so much. Coming up in the studio, we're going to have a turtle race. These are two of Tallahassee's fastest turtles, and we're going to see which one wins. And then after that, of course, Marsha Gay Harden. It's just like, what is the through line here? But they do it all at the same time. Quality. It is so crazy.
It's like a county fair. It really is. It's like how many jelly beans are in the jar? Plus, you know, there's a new pig, and like, it's just like, what, you guys have
after
everything
that Bernie
here.
Sanders. Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, the day I was on it, there was this bag of wine, but also there was the dog who had won.
The Westminster dog show.
Oh, what a celebrity!
And I like posed with it, and I just couldn't believe how big its head was. I didn't.
She was like a bloodhound.
What type of dog had won this year?
It was the bloodhound. It was
That was big news that the bloodhound.
He was a star. He was adorable.
Yeah, it's so sweet, and I just was like. Okay, like I took a picture with the dog.
When we were there, we were leaving, and Bryce Dallas Howard and DeWanda Wise from Jurassic World were coming. Right. We're coming on, and we're shuffling out from our segment. We just played like a silly game with them, and the two of us look at the two of them, and they're gorgeous, so gorgeous people. And literally, they were like, oh, we're so excited for your movie, and we were just like to them, yeah, we're so excited for your movie too, Jurassic World.
Like, yeah. Oh my God.
I was like,
I know.
What are we all doing here?
Yeah.
Yeah. It takes it all. It just takes it all in. And yeah. And it's there every morning, the Today Show.
I mean, case in point, it's Roe v. Wade was overturned on the Bahamas beach. Yeah, you know what I mean? It's just, that's what it is.
I have a question about, Matt brought up Isabella. How did you guys capture that? Like with the line, like Leslie's show, like, How was that audio captured? Because I know a lot of the Marcel lines were like improvised and then scripted and then improvised and then sort of like there was just this like lovely process of like getting it down. But like in terms of like being, were you in the room with in the booth with Isabella?
Yeah, well, we were never in a booth. We recorded all like natural sound, as natural as possible, or like. So like when we were in Nana Connie's garden, we were at Isabella's farm actually. Like we. Truly, like when I say we like stand next to the truth, we really did put like as much true things as we could into something that is ultimately like fake or created or whatever. But so Isabella and I, like, you know, Dean and Nick would sometimes like come back after like something that had been improvised or just realizing there's like a kind of a hole in a conversation and like come with a few lines and be like, this is this. And then Isabella and I would maybe record that and then we would improvise off of that. And just, you know, we never rehearsed. We just kind of like discussed what was important about the scene. And there's also like so many Isabella improvs that it didn't feel to me like improv when you're like I was in the improv group in college, you know, and you like walk in and you're like, I'm the lady who brought the stinky lunch or whatever. Like, I was like, that's a setup or something. You know,
I love
you
guys that know what I mean.
You know that. You know that.
I see the world.
Like, has anyone seen my goddamn sandwich? You know, and like, that's the whole scene. Like, this was more like, you're just more sitting in these characters.
My goddamn sandwich.
Oh my gosh. Let me just digress for one second to say, I love a gentle prank. I don't like pranks. Like insane ones. I think they're so weird. And I think pranksters are so weird. But I love a gentle one. Like, I move my dad's sandwich. Sometimes, like, my dad will make a sandwich and then he goes, like, get a drink, and I move it. So funny.
That's neutral evil.
It's just like
hard pranks are chaotic evil.
Right. Yeah, it's just sort of bewilderment or like a slight embarrassment that also makes you feel like you are special. So one thing I love to do to my husband, just in terms of my lunch or a sandwich or whatever, is that now that, you know, we can have the windows open in Massachusetts, it's the summer, whatever. So we're driving and every time we're kind of at a stoplight, but about to move. So we won't have to sit there for a long time, but I just go, why did you eat my lunch? I wanted my lunch and now you ate the whole thing. My sandwich, my chips, my drink, the pickles. I have nothing and I'm so hungry. And I just go on and on. And it is truly so funny because it's so clear.
Yes.
And everybody looks, they always look. And one time I did it right before the drawbridge went up in the town where we live. So then we were there and it was like, oh no, this is actually really embarrassing now. But
you had to keep going.
Anyway, we would just, Isabella and I would just be like having a conversation. That's what that was. And then like suddenly she just become more comfortable with this made up thing that Dean and I and Nick really only know about. Like, you know, she would have read the whole treatment, but you know, we would remind her like, this is where we are in the story. And we caught lots of great improv like that. And then I also think Dean and Nick got really good at writing to her accent and the way that she, you know, she speaks Italian as her, you know, like her first language. And so she makes some like goofs that are really funny. And she even says, like, she means to say, I had to teach myself how to read. And she says, like, I had to taught myself how to read. And it's like so like beautiful. My own grandmother has an accent that, and she has lots of mistakes like that. And it's like so dear.
It's.
I love the explanation that she's from the garage. That's why she has the
accent. Yes, she has the accent.
She's from the garage.
She's from the garage.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer? Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
You know, Matt, every day I am looking for new ways to reach my money goals.
I know you are, Bowen, and I also know that that leaves room for little rewards and treats along the way.
Like, for instance, every day that I save, I leave room at the end of the week for a special delivery order.
With a Chime checking account, you get features like fee-free overdraft up to $200 with Spot Me, or getting paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit.
Sometimes you have an emergency and overdrafts happen. With Chime, you and your friends can spot each other by using boosts to increase your overdraft limits.
Join millions of Chime members who are working on financial progress.
Get spotted on debit card purchases and cash withdrawals.
No monthly fees or maintenance fees.
And over 60,000 fee-free ATMs.
To date, Chime has spotted members over 20 billion.
Take control of your finances and say goodbye to monthly fees.
Open your account in minutes at chime.com/culturistas. That's chime.com/culturistas. Chime. Feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in SpotMe and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Hey, Las Culturistas listeners. We're here to tell you that there's no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift. Now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy.
Gift Mode on Etsy takes the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone and any occasion.
It's easy. Just tap or click Gift Mode on your Etsy app or Etsy.com, then answer a few short questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you curated gift ideas based on hundreds of personas.
There's a lot of pressure around gifting. I usually have a hard time thinking of gift ideas for the birthdays of loved ones in my life. And sometimes I do get super stressed trying to find that perfect thing.
Me too. But now with Gift Mode on Etsy, I can search hundreds of gifting personas and find so many incredible items. And I actually just found a custom chalk bag for the adventurer in my life who's into rock climbing.
Not me. Now it's simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So, whether you need a housewarming gift for the new homeowner in your life or a birthday present for the pickleballer in your life, Gift Mode has you covered.
I'm not the pickleballer. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now. We haven't even asked Jenny the question.
We have to ask Jenny the question. Jenny Slate. So there's a central question of Las Culturistas, and that means it lives at the center of the podcast. And the question is, what was the culture that made you say culture is for you?
Okay. The thing that I centralize, well, it's like the central thing for me when that question pops up, and there are lots of little like ding dongs hanging off of it.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a, I guess you would call it a sketch or a scene or whatever on Sesame Street where Maria and Luis like dance, like ballroom dancing.
Oh my gosh.
Bob is dressed as Atlas. And it's just really, really fancy. And, you know, these also were people that I knew could be funny. And I just like really loved the ability to see them just as sort of like Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire in a way. I just loved it. And I was like, you know how Sesame Street would like repeat stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, oh God, I hope that one comes on. But off of that, you know, are like, it just was a lot of like Carol Burnett in Annie, how like I actually found her to be, and Ursula in The Little Mermaid, like, I loved people that were still attractive to me and they had like majorly defined style, but they weren't necessarily the main character, but maybe the villain or maybe just on the side. Like, I also love Bernadette Peters in Annie, like how she just had all the necklaces and her tits and everything. And I just always liked, and Madeleine Kahn in like everything. But I really liked when I would be shown examples of people who were not just funny, but could also be a class act and unexpected. Like, while I loved, you know, like Uncle Buck starring John Candy, I really needed more than that. And I didn't identify with that at all.
Right.
But when I saw like Pee-wee and how he always had his like sweet little gray suit on and looked the same way and had like his little bit of, he always sort of had like almost orangey lipstick. Like, you know, like he had like kind of like a, he had a face, like he really had like makeup on. And I just liked those examples because I always really wanted to dress up. You know, I still really enjoy that. And when I do stand up, I like to dress like it's a date and stuff like that. And yeah. And so that, and an album called Classic Crystal by the singer Crystal Gayle. I don't like country music really at all. I don't really, it's not like my thing. My sister loves it. I am not super country, but I love old school Crystal Gayle.
Classic Crystal.
And she had like long, long dark hair, long nails. And the picture of her on the back of the record, she was like in what now is probably like, you know, what do they call that? Like prairie.
Yeah, prairie. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? Like a cottage dress or something, with this insane cleavage. And she was on a, sitting on like a twin bed.
So even that is like a well-defined character, but with the idea of glamour.
Yeah.
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 So I completely get that. It's because, you know, it is this idea of, there is like an aspiration to it. You know what I mean? Because like you want to grow up and, but you also want to be like funny. Like you don't want to be everything. Right. You want to be something. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
For sure. Like funny and also have costumes, like be really like just like Morticia Adams, you know, like just really, really in there. And I always felt like the funniness is like what your fortune, that's what fortune gives you. That's like what you're blessed with. If that's like your instinct, it also, I think, comes with like pain and often shyness and doubt, of course. But then the costume is the prize that you get when you've been able to, like, you know, in a good way, exploit your talent, that you get that costume and you get like included in a production.
Well, like the
That's like,
sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I didn't mean to cut you off. But the costume is like the container or like the presentation, literally. And like in this, like, it's the first thing people see. Like, that's why, like, I don't get too hung up on people who are like obsessed with aesthetics or anything or about the way they look. Like, I get it. It's aesthetics define how something is received in a way. And for, and all these examples, I feel like it is pretty central to like the comedy, or even with Maria and Louise, it's like, I feel like they were like the only like couple on Sesame Street for like a long time, right? Or like human couple.
No, Susan and Gordon. Oh, okay. Susan and Gordon were a couple. And then I feel like Bob and Linda also fell.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Bob and Linda. That's like a very like 70s, 80s thing. Like after the 90s and onward, like you don't, there aren't really human romances or even like Muppet romances on Sesame Street, right?
For sure. I don't know of any Muppet romances at all. There are like couples and companions, like Big Bird and Snuffy, and obviously Bird and Ernie. But I mean, that is something that like I honestly dream of doing, is to like have a show that is, again, like sort of talking, referring back to what I said before, of like anybody can watch it. Like you don't have to be a stoner to enjoy a show for kids. Like it could be for everyone, but it is like maybe a show for children, but where I could be like a human with puppets, but have like a person who has a crush on me, you know, and like, you know, like have that be to happen to my character. I think it's nice for kids to see love unfold.
Yeah.
Yeah. I honestly think like, and whatever. Like, I understand why the sort of influx of like Disney films that are coming out now skip that part. But mm-hmm. I think it's actually kind of nice, like, to have a love story. And it feels like people are so hell-bent on it being like, no, this character is an individual and she's smart. And it's just yeah. like, yes, completely. Yeah, that can be true. And she's also different and unique. And like, it's just like, okay, we understand. But also, like, it's not bad to fall in love. This is also right. a movie. You know what I mean? Like, everyone's watching it. Everyone understands that idea of, like, you know, like an unrequited thing or a love that's unexpected. Mm-hmm. Or, and I just feel like sometimes, like, when I watch these new, like, these new animated movies, or which are seemingly trying to be for everyone, especially some of these Disney ones are so heady. I don't know if you feel like that, like, you guys, but like, but sometimes I watch these newer ones and I'm like, wait, what's going on? Like, I know that there's a theme, but like, where are the classic stories? Like, where are the love stories? Like, I'm not seeing them. So yeah. I don't know. There's something very pure and nice about you saying a formative memory is watching these two just dance, mm-hmm. you know, and look at each other and be in love.
Love it. Yeah. It sucks that like we've had to kind of quit on love or something like romantic love because like patriarchy and like just like being so crazy weird heteronormative stuff has like made it just be like, we're not doing that. We're actually doing a thing about adventure. And like, you know, it's like, okay, like, just because Ariel like literally gave away her voice so she could have legs and a vagina, like, it doesn't mean we keep having to do that. Like, we could stop, you know, we could just like find a different way to do it. But yeah. That's another thing that really, I'm like, how do I, I love Little Mermaid. And now I'm just like, this is such a weird message to show my daughter.
I don't know. Yeah.
But yeah. I love it. I think I'm just, you know, going to have to just get into the conversation yeah. with her. I think that's what it's about.
Yeah,
totally. I think that's it. There's an asterisk to be put on the thing. And then, yeah. I don't know, like, my nieces are obsessed with Frozen and they understand that to be a movie about sisters. And I'm like, perfect. Like, they can, mm-hmm. like, they're smart enough to, like, take away the right messages. I don't know. I feel like I have not internalized too much about those movies. Especially when it comes to love. I'm like, no, I know this is a fantasy.
But you were also not a little girl watching it. And so I understand, like we have a friend, our friend Sudi, like, was not explicitly not allowed to watch those films because she had like an immigrant Iranian mother who saw mm-hmm. it and was like, no, I know exactly what this is. All these little girls have like this gorgeous, like, you know, blonde hair, whatever. Man. Like, and I know what they're doing with Jasmine. They're trying to trick us. Like, no, like, it's just, it's not happening. Look at her waist. Look at the size of her eyes. Like, the way she is drawn is crazy. It's like, yes, that is all true, but I don't know. I think that there is also something to the fact that, like, it's just about a conversation. You know what I mean? It's just about, like, you know, understanding these things are what they are and that everything. I mean, then you can turn on a live action movie and you're not going to escape, like, the trappings of the times they were made in either. I mean, the other night we were in the Fire Island Pines and we tried to watch the movie Scary Movie, like, just the first parody of the, like,
right.
And it was so crazy, Jenny, how, like, every single joke is either so racist, homophobic, misogyny, violence against women. There is almost no comedy that would be placed so in a film today. And we're watching it like, oh my God. And then the other day, I do this other podcast called HBO Max Movie Club. And I watched She's All That. And I was like, even this movie, it's just like, it's so crazy how like, just like, but he's gay. Is like a full, it's like a bring the house down barn burner punchline to the point where it's just like, you just can't show anything if you're, it's, I actually think it's an opportunity. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
to be like, this was made then in a time when you could say something like that, but we've evolved. Like, I think it's like a worthwhile tool.
Yeah, I think so too. And I also think you can't just be like, well, we're not, I mean, there are some things that you're like, that is really gross, like, or that's way too violent or whatever for a little kid. And some stuff you're like, I don't want that. But like The Little Mermaid, which has a lot of delight in it and great songs and it looks beautiful. And Under the Sea is so fun to be just like under the ocean. It's so weird to, you know, like be like, I don't even think that I'm capable of discussing with my daughter when she's old enough to watch this, like why some of this is awesome. Yeah. and like asking her, like, how do you feel about that deal that she makes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
And she's like, I would make the deal too tomorrow.
Yeah.
And you're right. God, shit.
I remember as a little kid being like, would I make the deal? Like, you know, like I wanted to fall in love so badly and to have like boobs and stuff. And like, I don't know. I think like like culture will always like have an impact, but it's like the people that, especially if like you're a kid and you can have like even one adult that's like cool to you and you trust and you feel attached to you, that they're like, this is actually like, it's more complex than that. Let's discuss. And I think you can, you know, you can
totally like
get and to where you need to be.
You need someone to tell you not to put a fork in your hair, because that was what I was doing. I was
using
the jingle hopper. I was like at the dinner table. Like,
oh my God.
With the shit in my hair. And my mom was like, oh Jesus. Like,
I spent my college years honking on a snark flat, if you know what I mean.
You're going to get food poisoning. Yeah. Quote unquote.
Snagajob is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snagajob is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position. Warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snagajob's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text snag to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
There's a new sparkling water beverage from the makers of Bubbly, Bubbly Burst.
Refreshing bubbles, colorful bottles, and playful smiles galore.
Bubbly comes in a variety of 6 fun flavors that taste incredible, and with no added sugar and low calories, there's a lot to smile about.
Each sip adds a burst of fun to your day.
I don't know about you, Matt, but it's my perfect beverage for catching up on all my favorite shows with.
Yes, baby girl. And the resealable bottles makes them easy to take them on the go.
Bubbly Burst has antioxidant and immune support too, keeping us feeling great all day long.
Hey, try new Bubbly Burst.
Bowen Yang, one of my favorite possessions that I own, I'm not kidding, is my Helix mattress. I have the Helix Midnight. I've had it now for like a little bit over 4 years, and I think about my bed all the time when I'm not in it. It's very hard to get up out of in the morning because the Helix Midnight mattress is perfect for me.
Matt Rogers, I have to agree with my sister. I love my Helix Midnight mattress as well. And sometimes I have what the kids are saying, Helix mattress rot days. Not just bed rot.
Oh my.
It's gosh. Helix mattress rot.
See me up in the bed like 50 Lem girls.
Yes. The Helix lineup offers 20 unique mattresses, including the award-winning Lux collection, the newly released Helix Elite collection, and even a mattress made just for kids.
So how will you know? How will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? We'll take the Helix Sleep Quiz and find your perfect mattress in under 2 minutes.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door free of charge. I took the Helix Sleep Quiz and I was matched with a Midnight mattress all those years ago because I wanted something that felt medium feel and because I sleep on my side and back.
Helix mattresses are delivered in a box straight to your door for free. And it's your lucky day. Helix is offering 20% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/LasCulturistas and use the code HELIXPARTNER20 HELIXPARTNER20. This is their best offer yet and it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
When the music of Celine Dion makes sweet Canadian love with the Oscar-winning film Titanic, you get Titanic, a campy, unhinged, chaotic night out.
And what more could you ask for? Find out what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night from Celine Dion's totally real and historically accurate perspective.
Titanic is
NYC's funniest night out. Plus, it's the winner of multiple awards, including the Las Culturistas Kimberly Akimbo Award for Best Indoor Live Performance.
Titanic is a parody musical that answers the question of what really happened to Jack and Rose on that fateful night aboard the Titanic.
My life was improved by seeing Titanic, so much so that I reached out to my best friend, Bowen Yang, to improve his life. And Bowen, did it succeed?
It succeeded so much that I went 4 more times.
So set sail with this kooky, crazy off-Broadway hit this season. Plus, if you get tickets 6 weeks in advance, you get 30% off. And that's on Titanic math, girlfriend.
But seriously, who can wait that long? Go see it tomorrow. What are you waiting for? Get tickets today at TitanicMusical.com. Let's move on. Should we move on to I Don't Think So, Honey?
Yeah. Okay. So this is when we move on to the incredible segment, Jenny, on our podcast called I Don't Think So, Honey. It is a 60-second segment that we do where we sort of rant and rave against something in pop culture or culture at large, whatever's really grinding your gears, as they say. When did they start saying that? And when did they stop saying that? Grinding your gears, Bo. Like, where did that come from? And I used it as an expression a lot when I described it.
I think it originates from the labor movement.
Really grind. Yeah. Grind my gear. The labor movement. Yeah. That's a good poll. So I'm home right now. And I actually asked my mother what her I Don't Think So, Honey would be. And you know what she said, Bo? She said, well, I've been thinking about this. It's people feeding damn seagulls at the beach. So she's still, it's a thing with her, Jenny. Seagulls at the beach, what mm-hmm. she calls damn birds. Uh-huh. They love my mom. They take her food. She has a war with the seagulls every time she goes down there. So I just wanted to let all the readers know this is still a problem in Katrina Rogers' life. She's still at war with the seagulls when she goes down to Field 5. But I have a different one.
I'll time you. Yeah. This is
great.
This is Matt Rogers' I Don't Think So, Honey. His time starts now.
I Don't Think So, Honey, gay man. I'm done. I'm over God. It. I don't want to see any of you anymore after this month. I don't want to smell you. I don't want to talk to you. I'm over it. I Don't Think So, Honey, the things you say, the things you do. Speaking of being down at the beach, you all litter. I was at the Pines and the way that you all throw things everywhere, it's so disgusting. I'm not fucking any of you ever again. I'm really going to work hard on heterosexuality. I think it could be a good move for me. Not just in my life, but in my career. I think it would diversify me. Shout out to all casting directors. I am straight now. Consider for your consideration, I guess they say. I don't think so, honey, gay men. When I have sex with you, I become ill. I don't think so, honey, gay men. It seems like we're all sort of dropping like dominoes these days. No. I don't know what to say. I don't think so, honey, gay men. The Pines were loud and crowded, and I have trauma now from it. I don't want to talk about the Fire Island Pines again a day in my life. I've talked about it because of this movie, because of this vacation. I'm done with gay men and the Pines. I don't think so, honey.
And that's 1 minute. Oh my God.
I'm over it. I'm done with them.
Jenny, you can laugh.
Okay. No, I didn't know. I was like, am I supposed to be on or not?
She's friends with them. She's an ally.
She's an ally.
I'm sorry.
That wasn't me cueing you to like, why aren't you laughing?
Her closest friend is a gay man.
It's so true. I mean, I didn't know. I was like, oh, is this supposed to be like clean audio? And so I was like leaning back and like clenching because I was
we're going to be loud for yours.
Your closest friend is a gay man. Gabe Liebman.
Yeah. The most wonderful Gabe Liebman. Person.
Oh, he's the best. He really is.
Well, he's gay and should stay far away from me. I'm done with him, at least for the month of July. I'm seriously going to hang out with only my sweet girlfriends. That's it.
Oh my God.
Just one month.
And then I'll come back. Yeah, I really know. Will.
But you need
I won't even make it through July knowing me.
Little palate cleanser.
Well, listen, Bo, are you ready?
I'm ready. Oh, by the way, Gabe Liebman has made the first ever joke about the algorithm knowing you're gay. And now everyone's making that joke. Oh, my algorithm knows I'm gay.
Really?
Gabe Liebman, you're cashing in a check, Gabe Liebman wrote.
Yeah, he had that joke forever ago, and it would be like about how one of the lines I remember from it is like that he's like pulling up his. I mean, now it honestly just is like, oh yeah, of course. But like at the time, it was like he's like, I'm pulling up my Facebook page, and on the side it's
tank
like
tops tank tops for sale.
Tank tops for sale. Yeah, that was the best. Tank tops for sale.
I went on my Instagram in my Discover page, and I don't know what the algorithm thinks about me, but it's only pictures of Andrew Garfield.
That's nice.
It is only pictures of him. By the way, speaking of Instagram, I just picked up my phone to time you, Bowen Yang, and it opened to the announcement of Lea Michele and Tova Feltcha. They are going to be
She's amazing. And Lea.
Yes.
That's a great cast.
Lea Michele as Fanny Bryce and Tova Feltcha as Mrs. Bryce. Obviously. Beginning on September 6th.
Oh my God.
Okay? That's a no-brainer. It's almost one of those things that happens. You're like, why didn't it already happen? Why didn't they already do that? You know,
I feel many are asking that very right. question.
Were we saying for like a while, weren't people saying Lea Michele is our new Streisand?
Yeah, that's what they were saying. And then I think that she...
Good for her.
I think she stepped in it a couple times, but now she's going to get an opportunity to, you know, be Fanny Bryce, which she's been auditioning for well over a decade. Whole life. So I look forward to seeing it.
Me too.
Yeah. But Bowen Yang, not as much as I look forward to seeing your I Don't Think So Honey
okay,
right
I'm
now.
Ready.
Are you ready? Well, then Bowen Yang's I Don't Think So Honey time starts now.
I Don't Think So Honey hotel rooms not already having toothpaste. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my God.
How
this
dare
is huge.
You?
If
dare you?
I don't always need an iron. I don't always need a bathrobe. I sure as hell don't need a Bible in the drawer on the nightstand. What honey. I do need is toothpaste, and not the kind of toothpaste for when you call down to the front desk, they give you that little tube of chalk that's designed for the military, okay? Mm-hmm. I need a Colgate, a Crest. I'll take one of those organic, disgustingly flavored toothpaste that lie to you and say they're peppermint, spearmint, when no, they just tastes like nothing. I want premium toothpaste if I'm paying for something, something a little bit, if I'm making a little bit of a splurge. Hotel rooms need to do this. This is a sequel to my I Don't Think So Honey about hotel rooms needing bigger trash cans. They also need toothpaste in the room, okay?
5 seconds.
I need toothpaste in the room, and then I'll never leave. I'll never leave. I'll pay you all the money in the world.
And that's 1 minute. You're literally dead on, and I also want to add to this. Hotel rooms, I don't need the TV on when I walk in.
That's
okay?
crazy. When it's like, hello, Miss Late. I'm like, no.
You don't know me.
I don't think I think so.
Yeah. I don't think so, honey. And also, how about this? If you're going to have the TV on, have the remote in a place where I can find it so I can turn it off. I have to look all over the damn room for the damn goddamn remote. Like, goddamn sandwich.
Oh, my God. Yeah, you know what? And I mean, I have an I Don't Think So, Honey, about something that's pretty specific in my life. But just to piggyback on Bowen's.
Do it.
I think it's weird now how they will not stock the mini fridge. I'm like, look, just why is this empty? Like, it's so it's like, actually, there's kind of nothing worse than an empty mini fridge. It's like, it's sort of like smelling a burp or something. Like, it's like, and it's so shocking. Like, when you're like, look,
so
okay.
So,
like,
it doesn't look right.
Yeah, like, this is bad. It's like, it feels like a bad vibe. Like, it's not good. And it's like, just put like a Coca-Cola in here and charge me $9. And then I'll be like, absolutely not. I'm not paying $9, but I want the right to, give myself like a weird treat that I could get for, $150
exactly.
at the store in the lobby. I just don't like it when they do that.
It bursts the bubble.
Yeah, and I feel like, I guess it is still the pandemic. And you know what it is? I get that.
It is.
I never go back. When I go into a hotel, when I go into a hotel room and nothing is stocked, I'm like, well, I'm never coming back.
I'm never coming back.
That's why I maintain my stays at the Ace Hotel. And when I'm feeling fancy, the Bowery Hotel.
I mean,
those are the girls.
I love that. And that they're like, I like when a hotel is like, well, we actually left a chocolate bar out for you because we're so fancy that we like just let our chocolate be taken. You know, it's like, oh, okay. Now I'm really on vacation.
Well, okay, wait. Jenny has a hard out in a couple minutes. So let's.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Let's get to the I Don't Think So, Honey. Okay.
Okay.
This is Jenny Slate's I Don't Think So, Honey. Her time starts now.
I don't think so, honey. Babies are flirting with you. No, they're not. I really, really don't like that when my daughter smiles at a person and they're like, oh, she's a little flirt. It's like,
no,
she's not. Actually, don't sexualize my baby. Ew. Like, and when they do it and they're like, oh, she's flirty. I want to be like, ew. Yeah, she's super fucking horny right now. Like, she wants to find someone. That's why she's doing that. That's why she's smiling. Thanks for, like, stepping on her first instinct to just connect and be kind and immediately sexualizing her.
Ew, just
absolutely kills me. Like, Auntie's little flirt, like, shirts with that on it. It's like, no, you don't. Don't do that. My baby's not flirting with you. She's just nice. You're lucky that she even smiled at you. And now I have to take her away because you're so gross. And adding on to that, when I'm wearing her on my body, the old white men that are like, that looks comfortable. Oh. It's like, not for me. And you've been carried around by culture your entire life.
Ooh.
That's really all I have to say.
And
about
that's
that,
one minute. That's excellent.
Stunning. And you said that you wouldn't get the patter or whatever. Come on.
This is also as an addendum to piggyback off of your, I don't think so, honey.
Yeah.
Don't ever call a baby, she's going to be a heartbreaker when she grows up. Stop.
I hate that. It's disgusting.
A grip.
Sometimes I get the like, tell my wife I've fallen in love with another woman. It's like, the baby? Why do you need to do that? Why can't you just like the baby as a baby? Like, don't rush it.
But the heartbreaker thing,
would you say that if she were 14?
No, exactly.
How about this? Hey, I like the way your baby is smiling.
Yeah.
How about that, cute baby period.
With its new smile because it's a year and a half old. Cute new baby.
Period.
Cute baby. It's new. It's new in life.
Hey, nice new baby. Hey, I appreciate it.
Yeah. Hey, there's your baby. Okay? Bye.
From across the room, say, I appreciate the fact you have a baby.
That's all.
Period.
That's it.
And no, I don't want to wear you on my body, sir.
God. Looks
you know what I mean?
That
is so, the implications there are psychotic.
But then
my husband was telling me that when he would wear our daughter around, that men would say that to him as well. Like, that looks comfortable. And that he was like, you think it would be comfortable, like you, sir?
Straddling my chest?
To be on me? I mean, okay.
I do want to wear a shirt now that says Auntie's Little Flirt, though.
Oh, I just can't. Like, I even have sort of a thing when babies wear, like, skulls and camo. Why? Why?
Not camo.
Oh, you're like a tough baby.
Oh. You're a war baby. This baby's seen it all.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I just, in the Marcel movie, there's just a rant that I just did in character as Marcel, but just my own personal feelings about like people who like are bragging about how they like love to sign their emails.
Oh, yeah.
I love that.
Not that that's bad. I heard recently that somebody got a really nice note from someone that they said peace, and then I felt bad.
There are exceptions.
Marcel.
What is he saying? He says war. He says war and hate.
War. I'm a big war person. You know, like I sign all my personal letters war. Let the battles begin, Marcel.
Readers. You gotta see it. You're actually hired back as publicists again. These are our listeners, Jenny. Please go see Marcel the show with Susan.
It makes a difference.
Oh, no, please go see it.
Yeah, we are like a all word of mouth campaign, meaning like the movie, it will expand nationwide, but it only does if actually like people literally tell their friends. And
you gotta go see this.
Gotta go.
Yeah,
you gotta go, everybody. It's really great. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you cry. And it's just great. And you really are the best. We were so excited to meet you and we're so excited to have you on.
I hope this is a lifelong friendship. I don't say that lightly. I really enjoy you guys.
This is just the beginning. Let the battles begin or like let the friendships begin?
You said it.
I literally did. And I'm not taking it back.
Oh, how wonderful. Let's make a date to go see Funny Girl starring Lea Michele.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. I'm putting it out there.
We're receiving it.
All right. Well, Bowen, we end every episode with a song.
Boy, you got my heart beating away. Beating like a drum coming your way. Can't you hear that boom?
Can't you feel that boom, 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 bass? God, that's super bass. Boom, 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 bass. God, that's super bass.
To hear more of that song, listen to Pink Friday. Nicki Minaj.
One of the great rappers. Bye.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast Climbing in Heels is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.